This morning by Psalm 30, we're reminded that David had plans drawn up for the temple. Although it's not included in that psalm, he provided cedar, stone, and gold, and had everything prepared for the temple when it would be built. But he would not build it, but his son Solomon would do so and simply give the word. David provided all material for the temple, including this psalm, Psalm 30, which we sang earlier in the service. When the temple would be dedicated, God's people would sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. The temple gates would be opened, and David wants everyone to enter God's praise and give him thanks. If we feel helpless or sick, David gives us a song. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. If we had escaped death and the clutches of evil, David gives us a song. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from the pit. You restored me to life from among those who have gone down. If we are afraid that God will punish us for our sins, David gives us a song. For his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. God's grace is infinitely, millions of times greater than his judgment, the psalm reminds us. No matter where we're coming from or where we're going, God has a word for us. God wants our worship. He wants us to encounter the true and living God on a daily basis, to meet us in our difficulties, to be there in our troubles, and to always assure us of his grace through every trial or tribulation. But sometimes it is hard for us to see that. And because our spiritual journey is by faith and not by our senses or by our sight, we may find times when it's difficult to offer him prayers as bold as the psalm does. We may become complacent or think that we can't offer our problems to God because we're not sure that he sees us in our distress or hears us or listens or perhaps even knows what's going on in our lives and in the innermost part of our thoughts and feelings. It can be difficult to worship and keep our eyes on Jesus through difficult times. We wonder where God is in the midst of our questions and our trials. We wonder where God's blessing is in the midst of suffering. There can be prolonged sadness, an extended period of grief, a cloud of depression that hangs over us that doesn't seem to want to lift. We are up late at night worried about the new day and what it might bring, overwhelmed with negative thoughts, laying upon our beds, unable to see how things can work for the better. Weeping may spend the night, our psalmist says. It's a deep sadness that can weigh us down as we try to sleep at night. Perhaps it is a burden or an anxiety that haunts us until the twilight. We may not see the end of soaking our pillow with tears, as David likes to say in other psalms. Years ago, I was sharing this psalm with one of our homebound members in a previous congregation. And without even blinking an eye, she began to recite a poem. She said, God hath not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. This is a poem that her grandmother had her memorize as a young child, a poem that she had on her wall when she would visit her grandmother. Her grandmother would have her read this periodically so that she would remember that we walk by faith and not by sight. Weeping may spend the night, but joy comes in the morning. This assurance gives us hope that God will not let us wither away in loneliness. He will not abandon us to the darkness. The light will break through, he assures us, just as the sun will rise again. Joy will return in the morning. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. David's pointing out the silver lining in the thunder clouds. He's pointing to the faint light at the end of a tunnel. And just like a friend of mine likes to say, the light at the end of the tunnel is not a train. David points to the hint of a dawn on a cold, dark horizon. At the end of Revelation, Jesus gives us the same assurance of his presence. He said, I am the root of David, the bright morning star. Jesus is the bright morning star. Have you been up early in the morning when it's dark and seen that morning star, Venus, shining brightly low in the horizon just before the break of day? God has written this message into the sky, the gospel in the twilight of our day. Jesus has risen out of the darkness. He is the forerunner of the sky. We know that the sun will follow that star. That bright planet's light is the assurance and promise of a new day. When the morning star rises, the new day will follow. The sun will shine on us. Weeping may spend the night, but joy will come in the morning. And this joy is not the same thing as happiness. It is a spiritual comfort and reality. It's a supernatural contentment, knowing that God has provided for all of our needs. It's a peace that surpasses understanding, a confident faith in a good and gracious God, that He is with us and He will give us not more than what we can handle. It is a faith in Jesus Christ, who is the light shining in the darkness. It is confidence in Jesus, who is the dawn of creation and continues to be the light of the world. Shame over our sin, grief over death, and feeling alone may linger for a while, but in Christ, its power has been broken. He's died, He's risen, we're forgiven, and we have eternal life. Back to that poem. God hath not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. Weeping may spend the night, but joy will come in the morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.